going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn with us, if you would, over to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. While you turn there, we just want to say we certainly love and appreciate your pastor, his family. We're glad to be able to be with them. I have been missing his fellowship, Sister Decker's fellowship, missing your fellowship. So it's good to be here, even if it is cold. Matthew 24, verse number 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." My message deals with the subject, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Every Christian should be aware of the danger of leaving his first love. Every Christian should be aware of the danger of our love waxing cold. Long ago, in the church at Ephesus, it was busy doing many things for God, just like some of you, busy in the work of the Lord. Yet, Jesus said to these people that were very busy, "I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love." Notice, first of all, the supremacy of love. Jesus might have said that some faith would grow faint. He might have said the holiness of many will be corrupted, but he didn't. He said the love of many shall wax cold. The greater danger was the loss of love. The priority of love is evident throughout the scriptures. Love is the center of all the commandments of God. He said, "Love the Lord your God," how? "With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible lets us know that there's no greater commandment than these two commandments. What is the coal? What ideal is he talking about? A flame being blown out or tapering away. The people whose love is growing cold must have had it in the first place. At one time, their love was hot for God, but the Bible said it was waxing cold. So it refers to those who have been in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you in a relationship with God tonight? Do you have a personal relationship with him? We must be aware of the fact that that relationship that we have with God can wax cold. Is iniquity abounding? Absolutely. As we look around our world today, surely iniquity is abounding as never before. And I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. Friend, we used to have laws that protected us from much of the iniquity that's filling our land today. But one by one, these laws have been struck down by the Supreme Court. New laws have been enacted, and some of them giving special privileges to those who do those things that used to be illegal. Things that were unimaginable 50 years ago are commonplace in our culture today. Think about it. You know that's true. 50 years ago, if someone had told you that these things would be going on in our land and country, we would not have believed it at all. But my friend, this is the day we're living in. What are you talking about? I'm talking about sodomy. I'm talking about same-sex marriage. I'm talking about abortion on demand. Iniquity is abounding. Friend, I think about the obscenity laws that used to protect us from tons of filth that now fill our land. You know, when a body, I'm talking about a physical body, gets so weak that it cannot purge its system of the poisons, death will quickly follow. And friend, we're living in a world, amen, that's full of poison, the poison of sin. And you can be sure that death is not far off. When a nation can no longer judge the evil within its walls, God steps in to ensure judgment. Friend, God didn't let Sodom and Gomorrah get by. God didn't let Lot's day get by. God will not allow America to get by with its sin. Amen. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so this effect of the abounding iniquity is even felt in the church, because the Bible said the love of many shall wax cold. How's your love? God, help us to examine ourselves in the light of God's word, because possibly there's some degree that our love has waxed cold. And friend, the Bible talks about it like this in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter and verse number 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You know what this is? This is not somebody out here just living in open rebellion to God's word. This is religious people. These are the people that come to Jesus and said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name done many wonderful works? But I will profess unto them, I never knew you. But what did he say? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Amen. And the Bible lets us know in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter and verse number 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth it will let until he be taken out of the way. Friend, there are those right around the church that used to burn with zeal for the Lord. I'm talking about holy zeal for the Lord, who were delivered from the mire and the muck of this whole world, but like pigs, they're wallowing in the mire once again. And this is why we need to be careful, saints. Let us be careful. Let us be aware. That's why we have this warning in the book of Hebrews and the 2nd chapter and verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. For at the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? You know that phrase, lest we should let them slip, means lest we should drift away. God help us not to drift away. Drifting is slow, almost imperceptible process. You do not perceive anything is happening because you're moving with the tide. Amen. As the people of God, we cannot move with the tide, because the world is going in the wrong direction. And if we're moving with the tide, that means we're drifting. And so I say, if we drift, it won't be long till we're far away from where we need to be. Possibly some here have drifted pretty far in your heart from the place of devotion that you once experienced in your life. As this rampant wickedness grows, Jesus said, be careful. When iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. He didn't say, well, there's going to be just a small percentage that's going to wax cold. No, the Bible says the love of many shall wax cold. Will it happen to me? Will it happen to you? Well, friend, we got to be alert. We got to be careful that it does not happen to us. Friend, the meaning of Matthew 24, 12 then is this: agape love will grow cold because of lawlessness. We show agape love through obedience. Amen. If you really love God, that means you'll be obedient to him. And obedience is the opposite of lawlessness. So when disobedience increases, love grows cold. It seems that so few people show any sincere, reliable obedience to their profession of faith. Think about that. So few people show any sincere, reliable obedience to their profession of faith. Professing Christians have a sense of obligation to Christ, like the character and virtue is diminished. And friend, when sin is abounding, you expect less from yourself and others. And so, like just one domino in a row, you too failed to be consistent with your profession, thereby disappointing someone else who follows your example. Yes, friend, we're not in this thing by ourselves. People are watching us, and people are comparing their lives to us and saying, if he can do it, I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it. And so we begin to compare ourselves by ourselves. And the Bible says, they that do such things are not wise. When there is compromise or setting aside of God's standards of righteousness and holiness, then submissive love towards God and the sacrificial love towards man will begin to grow cold. Friend, it's a simple cause and effect relationship. Jesus Christ is describing an ongoing breakdown in the relationship with God. And since that most important relationship is that source of agape love, it is a warning then that it will be evident in other relationships. A symptom may be the sacrificial love towards other people is decreasing, but the real cause is the relationship with God is cooling off. When your relationship with God begins to cool off, it's going to affect you in many, many different ways. A cause of this deterioration is found in the preceding verse there in Matthew 24 and verse number 11. And notice what it says: and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. What's the next verse says? And after that, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So we got all these preachers today that are deceiving people and say, you don't have to do this. I know the Bible says that, but. And I know the Bible says that, but we don't believe that it's necessary in the day and time in which we're living. Yes, many are being deceived because they're told that everything's okay. There's nothing wrong with anything, according to a lot of preachers today. And so those following a false teacher will likewise slide into lawlessness, becoming separated from God. That's what sin causes. That's what lawlessness causes. Isaiah 59, verse number 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But listen to what it says: your iniquities, not Adam's iniquities, not your daddy's iniquities, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. Friend, this does not mean that agape love is absent, but it means that agape love is not complete in us in the way that God's love is complete. All around us, we see evidence of this growing coldness. People's love waxing cold. I mean, parents can't wait to get rid of their children, and children can't wait to get away from their parents. Everyone is full of blind ambition to further their own career. Everything has come down to money and who has it. And there's nothing wrong with having money, as long as money don't have you. I know some very wealthy Christians that are good, dedicated Christians. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. Mercy is now defined as the willingness to tolerate and justify every one of your family and friends who's willing to make an excuse for their sins. Reminds me of what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Think of what Paul said. In other words, my language, he said, this is coming to me very forcefully, that in the latter days, yes, the Spirit speaks, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This prophecy for those living in the latter days, and we're 2,000 years closer to them than Paul's hearers was. And so the apostle tells us by the Holy Spirit that some believers in the last time will abandon their faith. Do you know what people are doing that? It's sad, isn't it? People that's lived for God all these years, now they got up in years and they are abandoning their faith. It's sad. It ought to cause us to be sober and think, God help me that I won't follow in their footsteps. Now, how in this world can the devil succeed in damaging our walk with God? How is it that the devil can succeed in damaging my walk with God? I'll tell you how. By using every trick in his book to cause us to lose focus on our sincere devotion to Christ. By working in our hearts, in our minds, to corrupt us from the simplicity that is in Christ. So it's easy to get caught up in the world's stressful pace and lose sight of the simple, direct, daily communication with God. I encourage you to think often of the words of the great hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus tonight. Listen, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Is that the way it is in your life? Is the things of this world growing strangely dim? Friend, I fear with too many people professing godliness, the world is getting a greater hold on them. Instead of losing, strangely growing dim, it's becoming stronger in their hearts and lives. Psalms 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse number 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Friend, we need the Lord's light for our path, for our life. You and I need understanding. We need wisdom. We need knowledge of the things of God. Where are we going to find all this? In the precious word of God. His word, the Bible, lights our path. It's a lamp by which we see. It gives us understanding of the greatness of God. Regular time in his word will enhance your love for God. The more you get to know him through the scriptures, the greater your appreciation for the magnificence of God. Several things, I believe, can indicate that you're wandering from your first love. When you delight in someone else more than you delight in the Lord, that's an indication. Your love for God should be foremost in your heart, exceeding the bond of any other relationship. And Jesus indicated that. We read a while ago, you got to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. This is the first commandment. Secondly, your soul does not long for times of rich fellowship in God's word and in prayer. That's what happens when love begins to wax cold. For the healthy Christian, the Lord's day is the height of the week. Amen. This is the height of my week. Sunday morning, Sunday night. It don't get any better than Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Sunday church services should be looked upon with anticipation, expectation, and preparation. Think about it. Our Lord's Day are family gatherings to worship, hear from the Lord through the preached word. Friend, this is a foretaste of heaven. What we witnessed in the service this morning, people getting saved, is a foretaste of what heaven's going to be like. And if we can easily prioritize and substitute worldly events over faithful attendance to the Lord's house on his day, a chilling of the heart is occurring. I said not long ago when I preached a message, in all these years since I've been saved, 40 some years, I never remember a time where I missed church for worldly pleasure. Amen. I never remember a time I missed going to the house of God for worldly pleasure. If we can absent ourselves from the one day of the week the Lord designates by placing self-interest, self-fulfillment above him, a chilling of the heart is occurring. A cold heart. Now, a cold heart doesn't have to happen. Your love doesn't have to wax cold. Your relationship with God deepens as you spend time in the word and commune with God in prayer. If you forsake this fellowship, your understanding of your true condition before God will begin to grow dull. Thirdly, your thoughts and leisure moments do not honor the Lord. Listen to what he said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. The things that captivate your thoughts and leisure moments reveal much about the priorities of your heart. The Apostle Paul instructed us, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things be of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you think about? Is your mind a playground for the devil, or is it a workshop for God? When your love begins to wax cold, you make excuses for doing things that displease the Lord. Say, I'm only human, right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. God wants you to dedicate your life to him as a living sacrifice. Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When your love waxes cold, you do not willingly and cheerfully give to the work of God or the needs of others. That's what happened. Generosity is a part of God's holy character. For God so loved the world, what'd he do? He gave. Amen. And the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, right? Therefore, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother in need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Sixth thing, you cease to treat others as you would treat the Lord. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Do you find that you're quick to judge and condemn others? Consider God's love for you and his commandments. Amen. Love with that same type of love. Here's what happens when your love begins to wax cold. The commandments are now restrictions to your happiness rather than an expression of his love. God's commandments, the words of your wise, your caring father, lead you towards what is good and away from what's evil. But when my love waxes cold, you know what happens? The commandments of God become grievous. I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I can't do this anymore, and I can't do that, and it all becomes grievous. But you know what? When our hearts are right with God, we'll do what God said. Amen. When your love waxes cold, you strive for the affirmation from the world rather than the approval from God. It's a sad thing when you see professing Christians desiring the approval of the world more than the approval of God. What did Jesus say about this in John 15:19? If you are of the world loves its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Friend, when your love begins to wax cold, you fail to make Christ and his words known because you fear rejection. When your love waxes cold, you become complacent towards sinful conditions around you. That's what Jesus is talking about. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So you know what he's telling us? Return to your first love. When Jesus used that term, wax cold, he possibly had wax in mind. Did you know when wax is warm, it's soft and it's pliable? But when wax is cold, it's hard as a rock. And the same can be said of our heart. When love is there, the heart is soft. It's pliable. When love is there, you can love the unlovely. But when love is not there, the heart's cold. The heart's hard, just like a block of cold wax. However, there's even hope for the cold wax. All you gotta do is put a hole in the center of it and put a wick down there and take a match and light it. And what happens? The resulting flame produces heat. It produces light. And just as Jesus' light, he melts even the coldest heart. The flame and the heat of the candle softens the cold wax that's near the flame. Let's get real close to Jesus. Amen. If you stay close to Jesus, your love will not wax cold. Take a lesson tonight from the candle. Let the light and the warmth of Jesus' love melt your heart and make it soft, make it pliable, so it can be love. It can love and be lovely. Don't let your love wax cold. Now tonight, even though we might fancy ourselves as expert judges, at times it can be tricky to determine by observation whether our love is truly waxing cold. When many are letting their relationship with God deteriorate, the emphasis on patient, active endurance is found in the next scripture. So just as a man who loves his wife, you love your wife? Three people does. Do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? That's real weak. Do you love your husband? All right. If you love your wife, if you love your husband, you don't want to do anything to jeopardize that relationship. Amen. If you love God, if your love is where it ought to be tonight, you don't want to do anything to jeopardize the relationship that you have with God. God has given us, he's given me, he's given you everything that's necessary to prevent such a condition of our love waxing cold. God has given you here at God's Acres a faithful pastor who preaches the truth to you week after week, month after month, year after year. And if you'll take heed to the messages that he preaches, it will prevent your love waxing cold. Not only is God giving you a faithful pastor, he's also giving you the Word of God for you to study. And staying in the Word of God will help you to keep your love what it ought to be. And to beat all that, he also gives us the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, if we'll listen to it. When we have a need, get the need met. Thank God. The Spirit of God is faithful to show us when we have needs. Warn us of an approaching waxing cold of our heart. May the Lord help us to watch diligently. Are you watching? Are you aware of the danger of the abounding lawlessness to your love for God? Take a moment and ask yourself, do I dress to the current fashions of the culture? Do I? Is the world causing me to be forced into its mold? Do I watch vulgar, indecent movies because everybody else in the church is doing it? I know other Christians who watch the same thing. He watched it. She watched it. Have I let my language get a little borderline? Here's a simple way to find out if you're becoming conformed to the world. Ask yourself, would I be pleased to have Jesus see what I choose to wear? If Jesus was at your house, would you wear the same things? If Jesus was there, when you went to your closet, would you stop and think, oh, I gotta be careful what I put on. Jesus is here. Amen. Would I invite Jesus to watch this movie with me? Why is it getting so quiet in here? Come on, Jesus. I want you to sit down here and watch this rated R movie with me. Now, it's got a few bedroom scenes and a little bit of nakedness and some cuss words, but we'll look the other way. Would you invite Jesus to watch the movies you watch? Wow. Would you? I think I better stay right here for a while. Amen. You know you wouldn't. You wouldn't invite Jesus to sit down in the living room and watch certain things, would you? Absolutely not. You wouldn't think about letting Jesus sit down and you watch some of the things. No, but he's watching you. He's watching you. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like that preaching. You're not the first one. They don't like it in Mississippi either. Would I speak to Jesus with the same language I use my coworkers on the job? If Will I talk to Jesus like I talk to them men on the job? If not, then we become conformed to some patterns of the world and not the Lord. And that's one of the fast tracks to your love for the Lord growing cold. Are you losing your love for the Lord? Is your love for Him wanting? Has the love for God grown cold? I'm here to encourage you that tonight, take steps to renew your relationship with God. Return to your first love. He waits with open arms. Now here's the good news. The good news is Jesus did not tell us that the love of all would wax cold. Thank God. That means my love doesn't have to wax cold. If Jesus would have said every Christian's love would wax cold, then it would happen. But he didn't say that. He said the love of many shall wax cold. It don't have to happen to you, and it don't have to happen to me. Amen. You don't have to allow this to happen to you. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus issues a warning that only those who hold out, remain faithful to him and his teachings in the midst of this growing coldness will be saved. Are you going to be saved in the end? He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Friends, I pray that tonight you'll hear the voice of Christ. Don't let your love wax cold. And if you've started down that way in any shape, form, and fashion, let's come and humble ourselves. This is what revival's all about. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. You know what? For my love to wax cold, for your love to wax cold, that's a wicked way in the sight of God. And it's something that needs to be repented of.